Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, your weekly automotive podcast hosted by two rather uninformed enthusiasts.
Nah.
I'm Sam from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
Oh, I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
And you can watch us each week on YouTube. You can also listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most podcast players. We hope you enjoy the episode.
What, mate?
I'm afraid I've got bad news, mate.
Go on.
I've replaced you as co-host of the podcast.
Hey, mate, no problem.
Oh, well, that's not exactly the reaction I was hoping for. I'm sitting in here with your temporary replacement, Paul Wallace, Supercars London fame. Ever heard of him?
Well, that'll go well, I'm sure. You'll get four views.
How's life back home? Are you working hard?
No.
I'm working hard, yeah.
Have you seen Tony work?
I'm on the way to Woken.
Are you buying a McLaren?
No, a Porsche.
Oh, good man. Well, of course, good man. Well, anything to say to the lovely audience? Because they'll miss you this week.
Oh, I'm on the telly. Oh, all right, okay. Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you were just ringing me to see how I was.
No. Why would I do that?
Yeah, fair enough. Anything to say, I miss you all and look forward to seeing you all the way back.
All right, pal, stay safe. We'll speak soon.
Bye-bye.
That was his work voice.
Yeah.
If you ever call Tony,
I don't think he's got your number saved. No.
Hello, Gravelwood. I was like, Tony, it's Sam. We speak every week. But yes, hello, everyone. Welcome to, well, I was going to say Monaco. It's a stretch.
It is. I mean, even Seb Delaney's house is a stretch.
Yes, Seb doesn't actually live in Monaco, even though we said for years, oh, we're off to Monaco to see Seb. Yeah. He actually lives in the south of France, just outside Monaco. And that's where you find Paul and I, because yes, this week's episode, Paul is replacing Tony, essentially.
Oh, how exciting. Permanently?
No, definitely not. Don't get excited. If you've been listening to the podcast this year, you know we have introduced a new series called Car Park Chat, where Paul joins Tony and I each month for sort of a random episode of this pointless conversation.
It is literally our WhatsApp group recorded.
Literally that. Unfortunately, for this month's episode of Car Park Chat, well, Tony couldn't be here. But fair enough, because he, as he said, is working hard.
Attempting to.
Apparently we're not. Apparently we're just like living it up, having a holiday in the south of France. We're also here working hard because it's the build-up to the Monaco Grand Prix. We're both on different sort of road trips, doing different things, but here at the same time.
Yep.
Sort of plan.
Yep.
we're both staying up in Ez for the first time.
Which is a beautiful part of the French Riviera.
I absolutely adore it here. I obviously knew of Ez, like we've driven through it plenty of times, but hadn't stayed here, found an amazing Airbnb that we booked for, we're here for a huge chunk of time. You're only here for a few weeks, right?
I'm here for, I think in total, including the travel days, 8 days.
Okay, fine. Okay, so you're not here for, we're here for like 2.5 months.
So you've moved in.
I've literally moved here. But yeah, it's an exciting time, and today is actually the first day of amazing weather that we've had, so we don't really want to be sitting inside doing this podcast. No,
this has been torturous because for the first 4 days that both you and I were here, it was raining, it was miserable. I was getting messages from the UK saying it was 20 degrees, blue sky. I was thinking, what are we doing?
This was the wrong choice.
Yeah. And now we've got blue sky and sunshine, and we've decided to organize all of the podcasts on this day.
And Paul says all of the podcasts, because we are also recording today a latest episode of After Checkered Flag, our F1 special series here in the hills above Monaco, as the trucks for the teams are arriving and unloading into the pit garages.
The track has been resurfaced.
We have some gossip. We have some on the street gossip.
Yeah, we do, actually.
If you're interested in hearing that episode, you can go and watch it over on recast.tv/behindtheglass, where all of the video versions of After Checker Flag get uploaded. If you want to just listen to it, well, hold tight. It's coming to you in a few days' time on all the usual podcast players. But look, we're here not to necessarily do a car park chat episode, because I think they are reserved for when Tony's here to talk absolute crap.
Yeah.
We're basically here to do a car news episode, because since Tony and I did a proper up-to-date live recording, so much has happened.
I know.
It's been insane.
Twitter has been on fire.
So yeah, I'm saving my kind of rundown of my Morocco adventure, my time in Portugal, all that kind of stuff, to when I catch up with Tony and we talk about what we've been doing the last few weeks. Paul is here to, get into the car news, because when has this all been kicking off? Firstly, I want to dive into a car that I'm super excited about, which literally launched like 2-3 days ago at the Villa d'Este Concours d'Elegance.
I can never pronounce it. I've never been.
Give it a go.
Yeah?
Concours d'Elegance.
Concours d'Elegance.
Yeah, Concours of Elegance.
So why is... That sounds French.
It is French.
But it's in Italy.
Well, the Concours d'Elegance, a bit like the Grand Prix. Has its origins in France.
Right,
Or someone just went, sounds fancy. Rather than car show, they went, let's go with Concours d'Elegance. And so, they happen all over the world. You get Pebble Beach, Concours d'Elegance.
Oh, okay. I thought that the Lake Como was its own entity.
Villa d'Este. I think
that's the location, right?
That's the location.
Yeah.
So you're right. I think they're trying to build out into a bit of a mini car week, because there's now quite a few events. There was the Furia Concorso, which I think happened. There was Porsche doing a celebration of the 75th anniversary. There was like a lot of little pop-up events in and around the Villa d'Este Concours d'Elegance.
Right, okay.
But that's the thing which I think has been well documented on social media for quite a few years.
Yeah.
You often see these wild, like one-off classics or manufacturers like Rolls-Royce. They launched that, was it the boat tail there that they did? The swept tail?
The thing that Jay-Z and Beyonce reportedly bought, even though it's been seen in Dubai.
Yeah.
On Dubai plates.
Maybe they have a Dubai property. €12 million.
Yeah, okay. So it's kind of like the premium Geneva Motor Show, if you know. Do you know what I mean?
No, I think it's Pebble Beach in Europe. It's got a classier vibe. Like everyone there is dressed in like linen, and like they've all got like 15 generations.
You'd fit in.
Well, I would.
If you are watching.
Sadly, I couldn't make it.
Yeah, is this a smart casual podcast?
I'm wearing a lovely linen shirt for Hello Ralph Lauren. If you want one, click the link below. There is no link below. But I would have fitted in. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it. But it's one of those events that I've always thought actually looks amazing. The setting is fantastic. The cars are always wild. As I say, like one-off classics that you didn't really even know existed until you've seen them, or like proper race cars, and then these kind of mad concepts or new cars, whatever it might be. But I also wonder whether if you would go, you're a bit like, I feel like an outsider here.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, So them? And maybe, I'm going to put my hands up. Maybe I am them. Like
I definitely am not.
Because I knew a lot of people that went.
Yeah,
and I'm wearing a linen shirt. So
you'd fit in a little bit better than I would. Like if me and Tony went.
Well, if Tony went, definitely. Because he's still been going shit to these priceless classics. I would love to think that it's super open and exclusive. But that's why I haven't gone ever before. Because I worry.
You feel a bit clicky.
But I haven't been, so I don't want to make that complete assessment, but it's why I haven't rushed there.
But it's also nice to have those judgments, for those judgments to then get torn up and have an amazing experience.
Agreed.
Because I do think it's one of those places, especially if the sun is shining, which I'm pretty sure from all of the photos this year, it did not.
It was not.
And over the years, you have seen these amazing cars get revealed, and they all drive in, kind of. It's not like the manufacturers are protective or they always want to show that these cars are moving. And that, I think, is the coolest thing, to see them coming through those narrow little streets around Lake Como. But I can also imagine, like with social media in general, that you're seeing the best bits of the whole thing. So I wonder what goes on for the 99% of what you don't see on Twitter and Instagram.
I bet it's amazing. I bet it's fantastic. But I just think, you know, depending on how you go, who you're attending with, what experience you have, I think there could be a bit like, you can't come past this rope, sir.
But
I think if you could go past the rope, you'd probably go, this is the best event in the world. Because I say the setting is amazing. It's Italy. Everyone's fancy. The people look amazing. Everyone's dressed their best and the cars are fantastic. And then in and amongst that, this year, with the rain, you had this BMW Z4 Touring. We finally get onto it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So this came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone expected this. I think BMW are a partner of the event. But in and amongst BMW XMs, i7s, you know, this kind of design language from BMW that everyone's like, this is a bit iffy. Like, I actually have to say, I'm really into it. Like,
yeah, okay.
Really really controversial.
That is controversial.
I love everything BMW is doing right now. I actually love the XM. I'm just going to come out and say it. You can beat me up. I don't care.
You've got a few screws loose.
Yeah, maybe. But I just really love the BMW. I even like the iX.
Do you know what, though? I think the XM in particular specs is fairly demonic and will have like this almost military utilitarian road presence, but I did see, and I haven't shown you this photo, like a Tanzanite blue with chrome everywhere, silver wheels. I was like, what the hell is that? So I think it's an incredibly spec dependent car, like a lot of BMWs that have been launched recently. But it's the complete contrast where BMW have gone with the M3, M4 grills, which has been a huge talking point over the years. You've got this new M2, which I still can't get my head around the design of it. But there isn't any sort of fluidity like there is with Audi or Mercedes, where they've gone a little bit too far, where a lot of cars kind of blend into one. Is it an E-Class, a C-Class, an S-Class? We have no idea.
No clue.
So it's kind of nice that BMW are going dramatic the other end of the spectrum, but this Touring, coupe Touring, is it?
Z4 Touring.
Okay, there's no word coupe in it?
Let's have a look.
I kind of thought that there was maybe on, but maybe.
It's the BMW Concept Touring Coupe.
There we go.
Coupe. Well done.
Yeah, but I love the new shape Z4.
In general, it's a beautiful looking car.
In that satin grey, which is what I drove when I did the media drive down in the south of Spain. I loved it. It was so much fun, especially because when you're driving under the sunshine like we've got today, like, it would have been a wicked car on some of these mountain roads.
Often overlooked, I think, the Z4.
For sure, for sure. Because I think the Z4 kind of falls under that Audi TT category of, like, is it a sports car? Is it a kind of, like, show-off car? The Audi TT historically was called a hairdresser's car, as we know, has definitely grown up and become a baby R8 now, which is a load of fun. The Z4, I think, is a wicked tool for sort of tight twisty roads, and this thing just looks beautiful, and everyone loves a shooting brake.
No. That's all right, we'll give Ben some work to do. Ben, you better catch that one. Shout out to Ben the editor. But anyway, this thing, important to say, it is a concept at this stage. As far as we know, there are no plans to build it. But I think based on the reaction, BMW would be insane not to at least release a limited run. Or the thing is, it's so different. It's more of a hark back to old BMW design language rather than current design language. But I think that's ace, and it's like, bravo them. Obviously, we used to have the Z3 coupe.
Yeah.
So it's kind of mixing together all of these gloriousness, but still with some modern design elements. They say that they're putting in a 3-litre straight six, so it's supposed to have a juicy-ish engine. I mean, it's everything you want on paper. You're like, yes, make this. And whilst you think, okay, this is probably them just testing the water, like, is there demand? And then they'll go and build it.
Yeah.
There have been so many amazing concepts that actually never see the light of day.
Yeah, and I also think, with how BMW love to price their cars, that even if they did go and make this car, you're seeing a lot of excitement around this general concept. And I think we'd be quite naive to think that it probably will come with a £200,000-£300,000 plus price tag. So, like, okay, cool, go and build it, but who's going to buy this?
Literally, ridiculous.
It's kind of like, I see it as a potential, if they were to actually put it into production, would it be the new Z8 in 20 years' time? Do you know what I mean?
Sure, yeah. So a bit like, what was the
the CSL 3.0 homage thing they created, which was then like nearly $1 million. Like, and everyone was like, what? And you're right, maybe this was like testing the water for the diehard. And maybe this is the direction BMW are going in as they push towards EV or alternative fuel solutions. The way they're going to keep their kind of combustion engine side of things is with homage cars or historic cars. And this was... maybe BMW's designers being like, guys, you're giving us a load of crap. Like, our new, by the way, we still know what we're doing. Like, but this is the direction we've been told to go in. This is the new era. Don't worry, we can still make this amazing stuff. And for a price, you can still have it.
I can see it happening.
Yeah, I think we can see it more and more. Like, hey, look, your beloved Lambo have already been doing it. We saw it with the Countach. Oh,
they've been doing it for years. I have an amazing story about the Centenario, by the way.
Please.
I think it was at Pebble Beach. They basically did a private viewing on that car to try and gauge the demand. So this is where I see BMW going with this, especially at Villa d'Este, where there are going to be some incredibly high net worth individuals. There'll be a lot of people approaching the BMW representatives there going, I will pay a lot of money for this car.
Yeah, how do I buy this?
Exactly. Lamborghini did it in Pebble Beach. Don't know whether we can hear
the microphones wouldn't have picked that up, but it sounds like someone's dying outside Paul's hotel room door right now.
Cool.
Literally coughing their guts out.
And they basically... wanted to gauge the interest. So they ended up, I think they took about 45 deposits or letters of intent to purchase the car. So they went and built 20. Like, because they knew that they'd sell them out.
Sure.
So I wonder if BMW have gone to the sort of discerning connoisseur. Hey, look, here's what we can do. It's an art back to how we used to build cars. Forget all of the EV stuff. They get 15, 25 letters of intent. They go, okay, we'll build 10.
I genuinely think that might be it, because they probably were shocked by how how quickly and how well they sold that CSL homage car at that price point, and went, holy crap, there's something in this. What, like, what else can we celebrate? And for sure, like, hey, look, I would love it if suddenly at the end of the year or next year, BMW come out and say, hey, remember that concept? We're bringing it out. It's a, look, like, it's still going to be expensive, but like a 65 or 70 grand, big run. Like,
you can, really?
I would love it if they did that.
I'd probably buy it if it was that price.
No, you wouldn't.
Don't know, I like the Z4.
It is a mega big kit, and bravo BMW for surprising us all, because I think it's very difficult in this day and age of social media to do a truly a big break like that at an event with a physical car, not an online digital launch, and then the car a few days later. It's very hard for them to do that. It was a bit like Aston Martin with that Victor, that one-off creation. And that was a true, like, covers off wow moment. So from that point of view, I love it. And yeah, I think any enthusiast was like, hells yeah, that thing is just...
You're telling me if that car didn't come out at 70 grand, you wouldn't buy one?
You know, I would put a deposit down immediately. anyway, let's move on, because it's not the only kind of cool, quirky car that sort of theoretically launched. I say theoretically because, well, that's a concept. And the next car is sort of a concept. It was the... I have to read this name. Alpine A290... Beta.
Yeah. Okay,
The Beta. We're quirky.
Yeah.
We have LEDs and we put a little beta sign from the Latin alphabet in there. Whoa!
Is that the world... Did they call that the world's first EV hot hatch?
I think that's... Whether they said it or others did.
I've got a feeling they said it.
Okay, so this is theoretically, so Alpine diversifying from just the A110 and taking Renault products and hotting them up. Mm. This is the forthcoming Renault 5 EV, which I think when it launched, we all went, sick.
Yeah.
Looks amazing.
Have you seen that in the flesh?
I haven't seen it in the flesh.
Oh yeah, it's
mega. Oh yeah. I mean, just from photos alone, I was like, I'm mega cool. Yeah. So like, that was already a great looking product, and they've just kind of gone insane on it and given it old school Alpine treatment. Mm. And it exactly like we were just talking about with BMW. I think this is the way that brands are going to move forward. They're just going to exploit heritage and history and visuals and a sense of feeling, even if the under the body experience is maybe not, doesn't live up to the kind of exterior or
but
or
maybe
idea.
It will.
Maybe it will. It's hard to know with this thing, because it had a central driving position, kind of mad. Loads of stuff, like I think I had like a full roll cage, like had like loads of elements that you're like, that doesn't look like a production car.
Yeah.
And I don't think they claimed that it was.
No.
It was like a preview of like what we will
What we can build.
Yeah.
Because So I remember the email that I got from Alpine. I'm pretty sure I can divulge this. This is the start of their diversification, right? So there are more cars coming to the production or product line of Alpine. And I think it's firstly incredibly exciting.
Super cool.
I've driven almost every variant of the A110. And other than the fact I don't like how it looks, when you are inside that car, it is one of, if not the best, sub £100,000 new car that you can buy. It is so much fun. You can drive it flat everywhere and not break the speed limit. And it is just... Well.
You can definitely break the speed limit.
But if the straights are long enough.
You can get much more enjoyment about exactly, that car can, on a public road than many cars that are a lot more powerful, a lot more expensive.
That's exactly it. So when you then look at them building it hot,
flat out and helping me, still you over 60, guys.
Fly on your right foot and it will never go over 70. The hot hatch excited me. I couldn't make the date, so I couldn't actually see it in the flesh. But the moment that I heard Alpine are doing a hot hatch, I was like, oh, they're going to start blowing the German guys out of the water.
But just in general, EV hot hatch, I am so here for.
Yeah.
Like, if there's ever a vehicle that would suit an electric powertrain, hey, a hot hatch is right there. Instant torque, loads of grip, you know, short wheelbase,
yeah,
low center of gravity, like just go, done. Like
it should be light, so technically you'll be able to get half decent range, because you know when you start planting your right foot, you are going to just exert the battery. So you hope that they're putting in a big enough battery that it means that you'll be able to go up the mountain and then back down before you need to charge it. But
it's like the Abarth 500E, which I'm super excited. Everyone's like, I have to be honest, the fact they've put that weird speaker that emits a sort of false exhaust noise did kind of ruin it. But I like everything else about it, except that, I think its range is like 150, 180 miles.
Yeah.
Which, you know, what I say, once you start driving frutally.
Yeah, we'll literally.
Not so good.
In disappear.
But I think the Alpine thing is super fascinating, right? Because we haven't really seen, I feel like Tony and I spoke about this. We haven't seen a lot from them since the A110.
No.
But obviously in Formula One, they're making a big push. I went to the launch of their season launch. They were talking about the road cars and the big push in that direction. And this is supposed to be one of Renault's big sub-brands that, you know, really is focused on the enthusiast driver, you know, replacing essentially RS. It's got a big job to do and it's quite an exciting, you know, brand, I think, but they're creating a new identity to people that don't follow F1, don't know about the history of Alpine, from rallying, from endurance racing. So yeah, they got a big challenge, but that was an exciting and wacky launch that looked like it was more from a, what's the movie? Is it Tron? What was the... Yeah, it was a really intense launch.
Bit like iRobot, maybe.
Yeah, like just like there was like a lot of LEDs and madness and dark lights and Gasly wearing a nondescript helmet. And it was like, what is going on?
You can see that they're putting a lot of effort and money behind the launches and everything that they're doing. I think Alpine are like, there's nothing that they're doing by half measures.
Yeah.
I think they're waiting, which is the right way to do it as well, because I think it would be very easy for a new brand to try and rush to build a customer base and an allegiance. And I think the other company that you could somewhat compare it to in some instances being a new performance-driven brand is Cupra.
Sure.
Because, I mean, yes, they're using the parts bin from VW and Seat, but they're still that performance and luxury derivative of Seat.
Are you Seat or Seat?
I say Seat. Okay. Seat.
Cool.
I don't know. I'm not Spanish.
No. Hola. Mono nome es sama. No, my. Carry on.
So I've seen Cupra obviously throw a bunch of car models out, and they are doing some really exciting stuff. They're not quite as sports and performance based as Alpine, but you can see Alpine a lot slower behind the scenes and bringing the cars out that I think you're saying, like, this beta car is kind of like, here's what we can do. I reckon they'll go as close to actually building what we saw into production for people to buy.
Which would be amazing. And I think super exciting, and one that, as I say, like, yeah, I think the EV hot hatch market is not something that we should shy away from as car driving enthusiasts. I think it could be a really good place for us to go
and
make that switch whilst
you know, you're waiting for the more traditional enthusiast brands to figure out what an EV sports car looks like. Because I think that's a very, I think that's a harder job. I think for not, I'm not even talking about Ferrari, Lamborghini, McLaren, that lot. I'm talking more about, Audi, BMW, well, Jaguar, we know, moving in a different direction. Maserati, they're obviously kind of stepping quite far forward with that, with the new Gran Turismo and stuff. But I think that's a harder thing to do. So yeah, EV hot hatch. I'm just sitting around like, if that launches anything like it did.
Well, if you imagine something like a Tesla Model 3 Performance, those numbers in a car that's that much smaller, potentially got a similar range, but more focused on the driving dynamics so that you can actually enjoy pushing on. Because the Tesla actually as a performance car is pretty useless. You're going to have a wicked, wicked experience.
You've just rumbled the comments so much.
Oh, is there a lot of Tesla fans?
Throwaway line. I don't think there are, but the one or two that are here will call their friends.
Well, and, get in the comments, guys. I'll happily argue with all of you.
I mean, at least our engagement's going to go through the roof. Come at us, Tesla people. Anyway, so yeah, let's watch that space for Alpine. I think super exciting for what they might be doing. But moving on. Because.
Swiftly.
The beloved.
Go on.
Porsche. Also unveiled a new car in recent weeks.
Did they?
Yeah. I mean, I say recent weeks, quite a long time ago now, but I've been in Morocco, I've been in Portugal. Tony was in Spain. Then he went home, like, I haven't done one of these for a while. Okay. We pre-recorded a lot of episodes. The Spider RS.
My new favorite car.
Really?
Wow.
By the way, just interrupt very quickly.
Go on.
Those of you watching here on YouTube, I will tell Paul to buy some new socks at the end of this because they were at one point white and they are now black. And I'm sure some of you have noticed.
I'm going to have a little comment to this hotel that I'm staying in because I've walked around. These were fresh on today.
Well, the floors are filthy then.
I have been outside and walking around.
So Spider-Man, genuinely your favorite car?
So Porsche is a brand that for a long time I disliked on my channel. When I was car spotting, I saw all of the Porsches and they were the car that kind of I could throw away because all I wanted to see were the really loud Ferraris and Lamborghinis. And then I started to experience them a little bit more from the passenger seat and then the driver's seat. So I started to learn to love the brand and the product that they build. And I've had this itch for a long time and you and Tony have told me, don't even bother scratching it because it is not a car for you. Yeah, I still want a GT4 with a PDK gearbox. I still want to experience a 991.2 GT3 as an owner. And so I actually contacted Porsche Mayfair when I first saw this GT4 RS Spider launch. As in, like, drive around the Nürburgring and stuff.
This is a few months
ago. So the moment I first
saw... The first spy shots of the Spider RS.
I contacted them and said, how do I get one of these? I've never bought a Porsche before.
My name's Paul.
But I think this will be an amazing car because I have specced up a few box of Spiders, as you know. Yeah. And to me, with a straight pipe, that would be a hell of a lot of fun. And I basically got told, I'm not going to be in the position to buy one because I've never been a Porsche customer. So then I kind of put it to the back of my mind until it launched. And I then got really frustrated that I hadn't bought 14 Macans, two Panameras,
hadn't played the game,
three Cayennes.
Tony was like, you still don't qualify, mate.
Yeah. But I was a little bit disappointed at what spec they launched it in.
But it's the traditional Boxster spec.
Don't care.
Really?
Yeah.
How would you wanted them?
Different to the GT4 RS.
Okay.
As in, it's the Spider. It's more of a lifestyle car, naturally. The GT4 RS is going to be like that. You're not going to see that many Spider.
Spider RS.
Spider RS is the name, okay. I don't think you're going to see them hooning around the Nürburgring like you are the GT4 RS.
Sure.
Therefore, why not go a more lifestyle approach and go down and launch it in like a really cool, I don't know, like a caramel like an old...
Have we switched brains?
Do you know what?
No, I'm so not... Hey, I am with you. Like a caramel Spider RS.
Doesn't need to be like a track spec. Okay, yes, I know it's a hardcore Boxster Spider, but are you really going to buy that car for track days? No.
So this is a really interesting thing because I basically agree with you completely. Like, I think everything you're saying is right, but
if Portia were here sitting with us on the sofa, and I'm going to have to bring it up here.
Oh, yeah, get them up on Zoom.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
No.
I want to talk to
them. 1 second, let me call Porter. I think they'd be saying, but it's an RS.
I don't care.
Fair, but let's come back to that in a second. Because I think, I just want to check the actual launch spec of...
I saw one yesterday.
The launch spec of the 4RS was definitely identical. Was it not this? Was it not the crayon? Like the initial launch photos? Was it... Because I don't think you're right. I think the 4RS... launch photos, it was a different spec to the announced or revealed. Let's go. Revealed. Oh, good if I could type with one hand. I think I've never used a laptop before. Look, it was this. It was that spec with the dark sort of crayon-y gray.
Is it Arctic gray?
I mean, it's worrying that you know Porsche color better than I do.
Told you, I'm a fan.
The blue wheels. It's not the same spec.
The
Spider RS spec
is more of like silver.
It's a historic Boxster spec. It's the silver with the red interior.
Oh, I'll tell you what I saw yesterday, going completely, not completely off topic. I saw that anniversary Boxster Spider.
Oh my God, I love that thing. With the gold wheels.
Yeah. I saw one cruising around Monaco.
I adore that thing.
I was like, Sam would like that. Yeah. I think it's a pile of...
I've seen two Sport Classics. I've been like throwing money at them as they drive past. Yeah, two Sport Classics in the launch spec, which I'm like, boring.
Yeah.
I saw a what do they call that, Boxster anniversary, whatever they did,
yeah,
at the Eurotunnel when I was leaving for one of my trips, and okay. I was like, hello, yeah. I think the Spider RS, the silver wheels, it's a silver. I don't know if it's GT silver or what the silver paint is, but then the red details are supposed to hark back to, because this is the last ever Boxster.
Yes,
it's the final level. So that was the point. But I get what you're saying. Yeah. Throw a bit of colour in there.
Yeah, it's a bit
of a different interior,
a bit boring.
But then, as I said, they would say, oh no, but it's an RS now. What I find amazing and exciting and fascinating about this is GT4 and Spider essentially identical for the 718 generation.
Yep.
Basically identical cars. And my argument was, well, you have the manual Spider, the PDK GT4, but they're both brilliant, different horses, different courses. For the RS variant, they have dialed the suspension back on the Spider ever so slightly.
Okay, there you go.
Done. You want the car, don't you?
Yeah.
Because the 4RS, as Tony and I have discussed many times, it's too much for the public road. Yes, it's an RS.
So it's a lifestyle car.
Well.
It's RS
still
minus.
Still going to be, yeah. Like, they say it bridges the gap between the Spider and the GT4 RS. And don't forget, the Spider is a GT4. So it's somewhere in between a 4 and a 4RS.
Yes.
So it's still going to be firm as hell.
Yeah.
But I just like that they've kind of realized that, yeah, as you say, this isn't a car that's going to spend all its time on the track. It will go on track, mm-hmm. for sure. It's an RS product.
Yeah.
But it's going to kind of be more of an ultimate, I hope, road car.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. You still can't get a manual gearbox, but again, hashtag RS.
Yeah.
So I immediately love this more than the 4RS.
Oh yeah, me too.
Immediately. Yeah. And I've always loved that Spider.
I think it looks amazing.
And I think like this, because the problem with the 4RS, as I said in my review video, in my mind,
is it's not a 911. So when you're seeing them on the used market at 250 grand, like 100 grand over list, people going nuts, the allocation, oh, I've got a 4S, best driver's car in the world. But it's not a 911, is it? Like, it doesn't matter. Whilst the Spider sits so alone, it's a baby Carrera GT, it's a baby 918. Yeah. As you say, you can pop the roof down, just delete the roof entirely.
Yeah.
Like, and just, that is a car for a Sunday blast.
But it's still going to ask crazy overs.
Oh my God, insane, because they'll build less of them. Usually they make less Spiders than coupes or, you know, GT4.
I did try and buy a Boxster Spider, actually. I did try and buy a PDK Boxster Spider, and apparently the Porsche Mayfair dealership had one allocation every year.
Okay.
And they were gone for like the whole production. Like, there was no way that you were going
to
get one.
In the UK, at least, they tend to build less of the Spiders. But yeah, it really excites me, because I think when you're in that, you're not trying to compete with a GT3 or a GT3S or even a 911. It's its own standalone thing that you can go out and enjoy, where a 4RS is amazing, I'm sure, on track. And if you're just tracking the hell out of it, go for it. But on a Sunday morning, I have a friend in America who's got one coming, and we were having this conversation. He's like, I'm a bit nervous after watching your video and listening to you chat about it. And I said everything that I'm just saying now. He goes, yeah, but I am a lunatic. And like, the thought of it being that hardcore really insane. And I'm like, well, then go you.
Yeah.
The fact that you want to wake up on a Sunday morning and literally have everything rattle out of your skull and just be like, ah! And then get home and be like, I love that. I was there 10 years ago. I've moved past it. For me, Spider RS is like all day. I would jump in one right now and be so happy.
It's a car that I remember talking to you about when we went in your GT3, and you said it just wants to be driven hard everywhere. I think you have to do that in the 4RS, whereas I reckon in that, not that you will want to do it because it is a car built for the tight, twisty roads, but I think if you wanted to do Nice to Monaco, you could take it on like a nice sort of curvy road and not necessarily need to be in the ultimate sport plus traction off all of the time. You could just kind of leisurely cruise across with the roof down and be like, hey, how cool is this? I'm driving the ultimate Boxster, and then arrive and be like, okay, now it's time to go.
The problem being that engine and that gear, is so highly strung and so just like, literally, because of the gearing, because of where all the power sits, you just are forever
in the top end.
Yeah. And you have to be. And but you know, bravo. And look, I know a lot of people who own 4RSs and just absolutely adore them and think, I can use it all the time. What are you on about? It's brilliant. But I stand true to my experience, and that was that it's not. I would have the GT4 over the 4RS, but I'd have this Spider RS over all of them.
Yeah.
The question is, if it comes out and it's 250 grand or 275 grand, because they're harder to come by, just go and buy this anniversary one. A 4 litre GTA. Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, car.
Go and buy a bloody Speedster.
Yeah, literally that money. So yeah, quite insane. But I have already emailed Porsche saying, when can I drive it?
Okay.
I am desperate to have a go.
Well, let me know, because I'm coming with you. Yeah.
You weren't invited, but sure. Anyway, so from beloved Porsche, we move on to McLaren.
Oh, go Brits.
Well, people have been desperate for us to discuss, as in Tony and I, the 750S.
Okay, do you want me to try and embody?
No.
Okay.
I've been waiting to talk about it with someone that's not Tony, because I know what I could sit, and I'm not sitting here, someone who's drunk the McLaren Kool-Aid. I'm not going to just be like, oh, it's amazing. Like, guys, don't give them such a hard time. I'm going to be honest, I'm going to be up front, but I also just didn't want Tony to do his usual thing of going, crap. And just rip it apart.
Yeah.
So.
You want a little bit more intellect. Not sure you're going to find it with me.
No, nor from me. So yeah, 750S has launched as the replacement of the 720S, theoretically the current flagship supercar from McLaren. After, when was 720S launched?
2017. Because we drove to Rome. It's literally 6 years to the month.
So I would say potentially a long overdue midlife cycle or replacement.
100%.
Because 12-seater 650S, 650S to 720S.
2012 to 2000, was it 3 years? I feel like it was 2014 or 2015.
They pumped out a good 3 models in about 4 years' time.
But that was, as well, that was McLaren back then, like where they were almost superseding every car that they launched every year.
And it was impossible to keep up with, and we were like, what's going on? This is insane.
Here we are now with a 6-year midlife cycle, and I think McLaren are purposefully slowing down because it was almost like unsustainable.
Well, there's a lot of questions as to how do we end up here?
Okay.
Because on the face of it,
yeah,
it is just that, a very light facelift.
Very light.
The car looks borderline identical.
Yeah.
To the non-enthusiast, it's going to be really hard to explain.
Especially why it's a different car. In a dark grey or a black.
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, like, basically, forget it. It's a painted front bumper. Yeah. Like, you've got to really start to... I mean, 540C and 570S, I bought a million people. It's just look at the side sills. Yeah. Look at the side... This is going to be just as hard. Like, this is why I just spent 300 grand on a 750S.
Yeah.
And then essentially everything else is kind of borrowed from 765LT, or just an advancement and improvement of what was already there. So I think McLaren made a bit of a misstep in the kind of build up and hype of here's a whole new car. Like, I guess what else do they do?
Mm.
But they probably should have somehow softened that a bit with, we've got the 720S facelift coming, or the updated 720, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Cause I think for about a day before, you thought, oh,
maybe
they've been working on something unbelievable. We're going to have a hybrid V8 replacement that, oh my God, this is so exciting. And then it was like, oh no.
Is that us as humans and petrol heads seeing other manufacturers allow our brains to get excited about what potentially could the 750S be, as in, like, we've seen the 296. I feel like McLaren are the one manufacturer that have visibly shown how affected they've been by COVID. Other manufacturers have kind of got on with it, other than having delayed production and obviously having delays on new cars and stuff. And yes, we had the F8 Tributo, which was a little bit of a stopgap between what the 488 and then the 296 was supposed to be. But I feel like with McLaren and the Artura, they launched that car at the worst possible time and then just got hit with delay. They've obviously had a lot of internal restructures too, which has meant that the car then got pulled back and now they're slowly starting to release to customers. I reckon this 750S has been ready for 2 years, but I just don't think they could align their product launches correctly. And I think they wanted to get the Artura right before they then launched the 750S. Otherwise they'd fall back into the sort of expectation or the reality of, like McLaren still trying to like fluff their way through, here's a product launch, and then 2 weeks later, there's another product launch. So I reckon like the 750S has definitely been in the wings waiting to be launched for quite some time. They just wanted to get the Artura right first so that then they could move on to the next one and do a proper launch for it. The problem is they hyped this launch and then they go, here it is. And we're all like, what's that? Like,
well, and also after 6 years, I mean, you say, yes, it's been sitting in the... They haven't had to have done very much. I say nothing on it, as far as I've read, is revolutionary. It's borrowed parts. It's small improvements. It's not all new hybrid tech. It's not all new carbon tire.
Which is what the 650S was to the 12C. The 650S literally was a front bumper.
100%. And a remap. but a new name, a new ideology, like all these different things, a new direction theoretically, visually. Like it felt like a newer car, even though under the skin it wasn't so much. It was 2 years, not six.
Yes, yeah.
And this is the thing, I think, look, McLaren have been able to lean into the fact that the 720S, let's face it, was so ahead of its time.
Yeah.
It was and McLaren have always been amazing at introducing kind of revolutionary cars that are steps above or ahead of their competitors, and people have then had to catch up or release their next generation. Artura could have been that if it had snuck out, I think, just before a few cars that have ended up launching in the few years that they've been having issues. But that's the thing. So 720S has felt as up to date, as quick, as modern, as everything you would ever want until about 18 months ago, I think.
Yeah.
When we started to get 296, even like Huracan Technica, obviously 296.
Yeah.
MC20.
Yeah, you know.
A lot of cars that have started to come through that maybe started to make things, okay, 720S probably needs a bit of an update now. And it could, I don't know, like, I just, to me, it screams a bit like, so now do we wait another 6 years until we get the...
Yeah, so I wonder whether this is kind of a stopgap to something that they're working on for their Super Series that's a lit, because so I have a little bit of intel from McLaren Monaco.
Please.
And I asked how the 750S has gone down, because it's a really interesting proposition, right? If you put yourself in the shoes of someone that's looking to spend 300 grand or whatever on a supercar, you only have to look at the 720S and the depreciation. It's kind of settled at around, what, 150, 160 for a good car. Who's going to go into a McLaren dealership and spend 300 on a car that looks identical, knowing where it's literally, the evidence is there on where it's going to be in 3-4 years time? It's a lot of money to lose. So you probably will try and get a Porsche GT product, or you will just go and sit on the waiting list for the 296.
Just buy 720S, because the later production ones, they dialed out so many of the issues with the late production ones. I've spoken to so many people who've had cars run them and had a great time. I experienced late 720S production and they were fantastic. And performance wise on the road, that car is still ballistic.
You don't need any more.
You don't need any more. If you want more, the 765 LT is also one of the most underrated cars of the last 5 years. But yeah, why you would need or want, I mean, I guess certain markets, China, UAE, they always like the new stuff, and therefore they might jump on that. And maybe it's a different buyer's trend than we see here in Europe or in the UK at least.
Yeah.
But I sit there going, well, I would just save the what is going to likely be 100, 150 grand and just get a 720S.
Or you, if you really want the McLaren brand and you want a new car, you go and buy the Artura, which is definitely going to be cheaper and it's got the newer tech.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I love that thing. And yeah, looking at the two side by side, okay, the 750S is the bigger daddy and I've just slagged off the GT4 RS for not being a 911. Yeah. But Artura, as you say, feels fresher, feels more exciting. Yeah. And I think in the right spec could be more exciting. At least you've got, you know, that hybrid technology and it feels like things are moving forward in a lot more new era McLaren than it seems they've put in the 750S.
Yeah, I think, so going back to what I was talking to McLaren Monaco about, is they have very limited production numbers on 750S. It's not a limited production run car.
Sure.
But he was telling me that next year, or maybe it's this year, or maybe the next 12 months, he has five coupes, I think.
Whoa.
Or like three, five coupes and three spiders. So that's Monaco, where obviously supercar capital of the world, obviously it's a tiny little place, but the amount of money and supercars that are here, either that screams to me, they know they're not going to sell that many of them, or the production run is going to be very limited, a little bit like the Aventador S, which I think numbers-wise is the rarest variant of the Aventador.
Really?
The Aventador S has the lowest production numbers, even less than SV and SVJ.
Interesting.
So I wonder if 750S will kind of be that car, a little bit like the Huracan Technica, which they like open the order books, 2 months later, shut them.
Okay.
Because they were kind of just wanting to get rid of the chassis so that they could really move on to the next one. And that was a bit of a panic car from Lamborghini. So yeah, I reckon 750S might not necessarily play a huge part in McLaren's stride to continue to compete with Ferrari. I think it would just be, if we can sell a few cars, like it might help fund the next super series car.
And I guess they probably weren't getting a ton of orders for new 720Ss these days.
Oh my God, no.
Like, there were stories coming out of McLaren of how few cars they were building.
Yeah.
And this is at least an injection of some cash, because there were 100% people who buy these cars for sure. And look, you're going to get a great car, I'm certain, because 720S was fantastic and they dialed out so many of those issues. So there's nothing wrong. And maybe they just needed that to get the production line going and get some cash in the door for whatever's going to be that replacement. As you say, if there's a 810 or 720 or an 850 coming in 18 months time, which you could so see though, right? V8 hybrid 850S. Like,
well, yeah, I think the other thing again, like, I mean, the fact that I got told this without signing anything, the next P1's coming 2026.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. You just casually sat on that one. So, because there was, I think on Spike's Car Radio, they were saying they had a timeline for, I wonder if that's the same for the next Porsche hypercar. And then we get
the Ferrari as well. Because the Ferrari's been seen so much testing around Maranello.
And that's definitely not... SF90
no.
VS.
No.
So let's see, because if they've all once again linked up...
They must, because every single manufacturer...
2026 hypercar.
Oh,
my God.
So we're going to get it again,
McLaren and Porsche. Would Lamborghini join that fight? Or do you think they're not really in that mix? They never have.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, because wasn't it when LaFerrari launched at the Geneva Motor Show, Lamborghini went, here's our car, vroom, Veneno. I'm pretty sure it was a Veneno year, which was an Aventador SB.
They tried.
Yeah. But you could definitely see it happening, especially now that next year, with 2024, Lamborghini are introducing the LMH.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
So if they can then pull that some of the tech.
Which is actually maybe where a lot of these, maybe that's where Ferrari and Porsche kind of started having their rumblings. They're like, we'd probably let those idiots at McLaren know. That's mad. That's big hype.
Yeah.
2026 is going to be a good year. Yeah. We've got to make a whole lot of money before that and get high up on some lists.
Yeah, I was going to say, buy a lot of Porsches.
Do you think that's what Schmi's working towards? Because he is buying all the Ferraris. Maybe he, because he knows these kind of things.
He will, won't he?
So maybe, and that.
Has he got an SF90 VS?
I don't know. I don't think, as far as I'm aware, he's got the SF90.
Yeah.
But maybe, I'm gonna message him later.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Because there are a lot of Ferraris coming. Obviously the 812 Competizione is out and being delivered.
I've seen a couple of Apertas actually around town.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, the best.
812 Comp Aperta.
Oh, wow. The best car that I've seen. Now, I've seen LaFerraris. I've seen a Veyron Supersport World Record Edition parked up, so it's not quite as interesting as I saw my first 992 GT3 RS. I literally, like, bawled over and fell in love.
Well, let's get into that, because the video that would have gone live on my channel this week was me essentially chasing a 3RS.
In Portugal.
Yeah. Through Porto.
So we had a lot of conversations around that.
I turned up, having seen quite a few of them at the Nürburgring on my trip with the GT3, I was being like, these things are just wild.
Yeah.
I turned up to the event in Portugal and there was one parked at the hotel. I thought, oh,
yeah.
Wow. And I was like, and also non-Visac car. So painted bonnet, which I was like immediately in love with because I hate that Visac bonnet. So I'm like, okay, somebody's nailed the spec. And we lined up for this event. It was 150 supercars in Porto. Mm. And I was like in the wrong place to go anywhere near this.
Because you were in the 360?
Because I was at the front. Hey, don't be a dick. I was at the front and the 3RS was lined up at the back.
Okay.
So literally out of the gate, I just pulled over and I thought, I'm going to wait.
Yeah.
And the guy comes in front of me and I pulled in behind it. And I was like, this thing is wild.
To have that on the road is...
I have not been that excited to follow a new car for a long time. Like, it reminded me almost of Seen Through Glass of old. Like, I was like buzzing.
Yeah,
like,
insane.
Like, and just like chasing it at some good speed. We had a police escort, so it's
okay.
Through Porto. So you saw... It was a black car that you saw
in town? An all-black car, and it was a real sort of fleeting sighting. I was driving out of town, and he was coming into town. So all of a sudden, like, this absolute Batmobile swings around the corner, wings everywhere, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, almost similar road presence to seeing something like a McLaren Senna. So many angles, so many holes in all of the right places. And as it was coming towards me, no front number plate, absolute baller. And he just cruised past, all black, but it had the blue GT4 RS wheels.
Ooh,
is that a
nice
Visac thing?
Yeah, because I think they're super lightweight wheels, I think.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, like, I got this side profile of the car. It just looked, I think I've said this word on this podcast already, it just looked demonic.
Yeah.
It's so sinister. And that wing is huge.
Huge.
And we were in the McLaren Artura. As we were leaving, I said, Seb, do a U-turn now. Yeah. We have to chase it. And he was like, it's just not possible on this part of the road. And I was like, Do it. So we've lost it. And I saw it for like 3 or 4 seconds. But just that memory of seeing the first GT3 RS on the road through my eyes, I now just want to go into town and try and find it.
Yeah. Did it's it so look cool. like it was bumping everywhere?
No.
Okay, the one I followed did. Initially, I was following the car. I was like, oh, you know what? It doesn't look that bad. Like, and then I noticed that the driver was avoiding like every pothole, like, and I was like, oh, so it must be like quite bad. But then, like, we were going over cobblestones, and I was like, you can see, like, I have followed, what car did I follow recently that was like so stiff? And I was like, oh my God, that poor guy. Oh, it was souped up Clio on the podium tours event. I was like, that
completely
thing is
different
so
car.
Stiff. But then we got to the lunch spot, and I went and found the guy, and I was like, how stiff is your car? He didn't speak a lot of English. And he was like, huh? I was like, bumpy? And he's like, very bumpy. He was like, it's very like, just aggressive, just jolty aggressive.
The only car that I've experienced like that was the 2020 model year Nismo Nissan GTR.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had a friend follow me for a while, and he was like, at some moments, I thought you were going to get up on three wheels. Yeah. I was on the M25. Like, it was that stiff. So yeah. I've never experienced... I mean, I didn't think your GT3 was that bad.
No.
So I wonder if, and I'm sure Porsche have thought about it, whether they have made it a little bit more road compliant than maybe we think.
No.
Really?
I don't think so. They've
literally completely disregarded road driving.
Yeah.
Because really?
Look, it's Porsche. They're better than that.
Yeah.
But everyone has slagged off the 992 GT3 ride. And as you say,
it's not that bad. I think our expectations are thinking it's going to be worse than it will be.
I do not think for a second it would be unbearable.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Absolutely not. And that's what the guy said. They're like, yeah, it's really bumpy, but
yeah,
it's an RS.
Like, yeah.
They literally were like, it's okay.
It's just
really, really bumpy.
Yeah.
And that's
I've made 200 grand already, so yeah. I don't care how bumpy it is.
I'm very happy. Everyone's taking photos of me. Everyone's talking about my car. I'm loving life. Yeah. They were top guys, actually. One of the most exciting cars that I've followed for a while. So what else have you seen? You've been out and about far more than me. I'm here with the baby.
Yeah.
So I'm a little bit more...
Father Sam has been limited to the amount of exploring that he could do in Monaco.
So what else is out and about?
You've definitely nailed it in terms of splitting your time right, because over the next few days, you're going to be in and around town and the sun's now shining and it's looking pretty good from a forecast point of view. So I drove down, I picked Seb up in Geneva. We had a lot of fun driving through the mountains. We bumped into a few supercars. So I saw a Techart 992 Turbo S.
Wow.
Which was a little bit crazy.
Yeah, that's why.
A little bit too crazy. Crayon with all of this electric blue everywhere, carbon everywhere. He was in a convoy with a 720S Spider, the R8 10th anniversary, V10 anniversary, the Decaninium or whatever
it's called.
With a few other Porsches. And then when we arrived, it was quite dry. So we went straight down into town. We saw a bunch of, there's SF90s everywhere.
I saw an SF90
everywhere.
Spider? Is it SF90 Spider or a Pert?
A Spider.
Spider, right? Spider, yeah,
SF90 Spider. A few 296s. Not that many Lamborghinis. We saw some crazy Aventador that was just the worst spec ever.
Amazing.
And then we bumped into, in the car park, a blue LaFerrari,
classic,
a Bugatti Veyron Supersport World Record Edition, a crazy tailor-made piece. I don't know whether I've shown it to you. It was nuts. Okay. Like, whoever spec'd it, bravo.
Yeah.
Brave, had green interior.
Oh, I love it already. I want it.
And then I bumped into, obviously, GT3 RS 992, GT4 RS. And on Saturday night, I saw a really nice launch spec 2017-2018 Ford GT with the
amazing
carbon wheels. So sick. And a red LaFerrari parked next to an 812 GTS with like full Novitec exhaust, full Novitec wheels.
Oh my God. Okay, it was cool. Essentially, Monaco's kicking off.
There's a lot going on. But for the last sort of 3 days, the weather has been quite wet, quite miserable, a little bit windy. You were saying last night we had a bit of a storm, which is why it's now all nice and clear. So all of these people that have made a beeline for Monaco are itching to get out in their cars. So I've got a feeling that I'm going to be putting the mic down pretty soon. Yeah. Just getting my cameras and going spotting.
Paul's going to sit in Monaco watching all the cars drive by.
But it is also very busy. There's a lot of people walking
around. It's super hectic. Very popular. It's been the Cannes Film Festival just down the road. We've got the Grand Prix coming up this weekend. It's obviously the start of the summer season. So it is popping off, but it's a good time to be here. And yeah, for sure. So Paul's going to be having a whole lot of content coming out on his channel from his time here, and then obviously on the main channel as well. I've got my various adventures still to come from Monaco. So I'm here for a chunk of time. I got the GT3 here, which is like, today's the first day I've seen it in proper Mediterranean sun.
Yeah.
This is Mediterranean, right?
Yeah. That is the Mediterranean.
I literally had a panic attack. I was like, are going to be like, what an idiot.
It's the Baltic Sea over there, sir. Don't go in that. It's freezing.
This is the Indian Ocean, right? So I've seen my car in the sunlight for the first time. It's amazing. I've got this beautiful Range Rover Sport here as well, which is an incredible spec and has been the family wagon. Loads of content to come from, I guess, both of our channels. But that's a good place, I guess, to wrap up this episode. Is a bit of a teaser for future content to come on our main channels. But good to catch up on all the car news.
Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. Not as random as our usual car park chat episodes.
No.
Yeah, there'll be one of those coming up, I guess, next month when we're all back in the UK for a chunk of time. What was I going to say?
Not sure about that.
Literally, I'll still be here. Yeah. After Chicken Flag, yes, just a reminder, if you're going to want to go and watch that latest episode, our sort of preview for Monica from being here on the ground with all of our gossip, head over to recast.tv/behindtheglass. You can also get early access to these episodes over on Recast. If not, sit tight, because the audio version is going live in a few days' time. Anything else you want to say to some of the lovely audience?
No.
Okay, well, it's good.
Thank you for having me. I look forward to signing a permanent contract soon.
Not happening. Okay, guys. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.